We can find our completeness only in God, not in the things that we have attained, achieved, given, or granted. And this trustworthy statement is confirmed and validated by his Hebrew name, Ra'ah, which means the Lord is my shepherd. That's why our theme today is about God being our shepherd. I have requested Sam to sing songs that would remind us about God being our Ra'ah, God being our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, what are the blessings we can claim from this name that would confirm that we can only find our completeness in God alone? Let's find out as we turn to Psalm 23, the most and very beloved passage in all of the scriptures. Psalm 23, and we're going to read the entire chapter. Psalm 23, and let's all rise in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. If you have found it, say Ra'ah.
Ra'ah.
Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You may be seated. Now, once again, this is one of those famous and beloved passages in all of the scriptures. Some of you may have read this and learned this when you were still a child. And even up to this point, this passage of the scriptures still continues to be a comfort to those who are dying and to those who have lost loved ones. Now, however, before we get to our passage, let's just have a little review of what we know about the book of Psalms. Now, the book of Psalms, of course, was written, most of it, by King David, including Psalm 23. And again, Psalm 23 is the undoubtedly best-known passages in all of the Bible. But one thing we have to understand when we read Psalm 23 is this, that when we read it, we really don't think of David being a shepherd some 3,000 years ago to his sheep. You know, of course, nowadays, the ideal of being a shepherd is not something that a person would desire. I'm talking about that occupation. That tending sheep is not an ordinary job or occupation nowadays. As a matter of fact, I would dare to challenge you and challenge myself that how much do you know about a shepherd? Or how much do you know about a sheep or a fold? Or the things that pertain to shepherd and his life. And unless we have a good picture and understanding of what a shepherd is like and what a sheep is like, we have this tendency to lose a little bit of the meaning of what David intended to say here in his words in Psalm 23. A lot of times we only use this in a memorial service or funeral service, but the truth is David was not thinking of anyone dying when he wrote this. He's simply thinking of God being a shepherd, and he was pondering and thinking of his old job as a shepherd, which meant this, that King David reflected what he was as a shepherd to his sheep, God was to him. God was a shepherd over him. Now, what does a shepherd do? Well, of course, a shepherd tends and cares and leads a sheep. Now, how about a sheep? What do we know about sheep? Now, a sheep tend to be reckless, wanderers. They are not very smart. As a matter of fact, a sheep is one of the dumbest animals out there. besides or next to Turkey. They are helpless and defenseless. And isn't that the description of a sheep describes us as well? But we praise God that in spite of us being defenseless and hopeless and sometimes not very smart, therefore we make the wrong choices in life, we praise God that He is our shepherd, that He is over us. That's why it says in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." What is David saying here in this verse? David is simply saying here that if we come to full understanding of who God is, if we come to the understanding that we leave God as God and we let God as God and we begin to take Him seriously and we begin to see God for who He really is, then we are going to see that our completeness can only be found in God. In other words, if we let God be God, if we let God be our shepherd, us being His sheep, then He will meet every category of your need, of my need, of our need. Can you imagine if the shepherd, or rather the sheep, would try to make the shepherd a sheep? Imagine that for a second. Can you imagine if a shepherd, on the other hand, would make a sheep like a shepherd? That would create chaos and confusion, isn't it? Can you imagine seeing a shepherd talking like a sheep? Bah, nah. Or imagine a sheep doing and walking like a shepherd with a staff or a cane in his leg. It just doesn't work that way. Same thing with God. As long as the sheep let the shepherd be the shepherd, then they will have someone that would tend and care and lead them. Which my point is this. If we let God be our shepherd, then He's going to take us where we needed to be. Then He's going to take us where we ought to be. And once when we are where we needed to be, and once we are where we ought to be, that would be the best completeness feeling ever, isn't it? When you know that you are doing what God wants you to do, when you know that you are in the center of the will of God, you know that you are not sinful before God, you know that God is your shepherd, that's the best completeness feeling ever. Amen. How many of you have seen a show and you came out of that show and you're feeling good about yourself, and after you come out of a movie or a show, you tell yourself, "I feel so complete right now"? None. Even if you go to a vacation or a nice place, places that no one has gone before, and you've been there, and you feel so content and satisfied in life, but anyhow, you come back home, and you tell yourself, after being on that vacation, in that place, I feel so complete right now. No. You still feel the emptiness inside. You still feel that you're still lacking. Why? Because our completeness can only be found in God alone. The point I'm trying to make is we need to stop trying to be like God and just let God be God and be our shepherd. Why? So He can lead us where we need to be, so He could lead us where we ought to be, because that's the greatest, completest feeling ever. Now ask yourself right now, well, let me ask you, are you where you need to be? Are you where you ought to be? If not, I think the missing link there is this, that God has not become your shepherd yet. Maybe God is your God, and maybe God is your Savior, maybe God is your Lord, maybe God is your Savior, but not your shepherd yet. That's why David said in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." And here in the next 5 verses, you will see how David explains to us that God being our shepherd would bless every category of need that you and I have. The first one is found in verses 2 and 3, and that is spiritual blessing. The first blessing of God to us, Him being our shepherd, is spiritual blessing. Look at verses 2 and 3, the beginning part of 3. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Look at those phrases there. Green pastures, quiet waters, restores my soul. Those are metaphors or images of spiritual rest or spiritual peace. It's true, isn't it? Every time a person would be in a carpet of green grass, or maybe at your yard you have a Scots green grass or a true green grass. Isn't that an imagery, a picture of relaxation and peace? Just like once when we went to Arboretum and we saw this carpet of green grass covering that particular area of Dallas Arboretum, and it goes all the way to the hilly area, and we started running to it. We started jumping up and down. We laid down on that green grass, and we just because it gave us a sense of peace, a sense of relaxation, a sense of satisfaction there. Unlike when you see a yard or a lawn that is full of weeds, that's not relaxing. That's very annoying, like my yard. But nonetheless, that's a picture of what he's talking about there. That when he leads the sheep into this grassy area, those sheep feel so calm and secure. But look at the next metaphor that he used. Quiet waters. People love to stay next to quiet waters where they can pick up a rock and they can throw it in the water and see that rock jump on that water, or get a twig and go near the quiet waters and circulate the water, because that's a picture of peace and rest, isn't it? That's why he's saying here that the green pastures and the quiet waters would lead to the restoration of our soul. What is he saying here? Those are, again, metaphors or imageries. Green pastures, quiet waters would make us have this restoration of our soul. In other words, what he's saying there is this: God gives you back your life. He gives you this spiritual rejuvenation. If the Lord is your shepherd, he's going to give you the spiritual peace. He's going to give you the spiritual rest. The greatest rest and peace ever is spiritual rest and peace. Have you ever tried that? Even if you have slept for long hours, even if you have a great day and you fulfilled your day, the greatest feeling ever is still when you have spiritual peace before God. When you know once again that you are doing what God wants you to do. When you know that you are not sinful before God. When you know that you are in the middle of the will of God, that He is your shepherd. That's what He's saying there. That He gives you the spiritual regeneration. Surely, life is filled with frustrations, pressures, and pains. But if God is your shepherd, He can turn your messed up day into a glorious week. He can turn your messed up month into a beautiful year. He can turn your tragedy into a triumph, because His goal for you is to restore your soul. And that only happens if God is your shepherd. Look at the next one. God blesses you with directional blessing if God is your shepherd. Look at verse 3, the second part. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That means if the Lord is your shepherd, He meets your directional needs. That He can make a wrong path into the right path. He can make you, as you travel the wrong road, take you into the right road. You know, back then, a sheep would wander off. And one of the responsibilities of David is to find the sheep. I find this very amazing about God and the picture that David is trying to portray him as a shepherd and God being a shepherd, is that in spite of the fact that the flock is still there, that majority of the sheep are still in the fold, he would find this lost one single sheep. And once he finds this sheep, he would pick it up, put it on his shoulder, and take it back to the fold. How many times we have seen that picture of a shepherd carrying a sheep on his shoulder? What the picture is saying there is that the directional need that God is going to do to us, that once we are being misled, misguided, once we are going in the wrong direction, God picks us up, He takes us onto His shoulder, and He brings us back to the fold. Now, that is something that happened to me many, many times. Many, many times in my life, I've been into the wrong path. You know, there was a time where I was rebellious to God. I even had a girlfriend who was an unbeliever. I was fired from work. I even went to jail. I was in a financial train wreck until 1997 when I rededicated my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, Lord, I want you to become my good shepherd. I want you to lead me to the right path. And he did, because he is our good shepherd. Look at what it says in John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. As a matter of fact, Jesus is not just a good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. Hebrews 3:20, it says, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus. And who is the Lord Jesus? That great shepherd of the sheep. Folks, God has guided me into the right path, even allowing me to be a shepherd of this church. And He will do the same to you. He will bless you directionally. He would take you into the right path. He will take you into the right road. Now, how can I be so sure, you're probably asking right now, how can I be so sure that God is going to take me to the right road? He would. Why? For two reasons. Why? He is the one who created that road. That means He have traveled and traveled and traversed over that path, so He knows and familiar with that road. And He's going to take you there because He is the maker of that road. The second reason is this. Look at verse 3. How can I be so sure that God will direct me to the right path? Look at verse 3. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He's going to do it, take you to the right path, lead you and direct you. Why? For His name's sake. He doesn't want His name to be marred. He doesn't want His name to be tarnished. He's going to lead you and guide you in the right path for His name's sake. So that means when you are where you needed to be, when you are where you ought to be, you are in the right path, then you will give Him glory. That means God gets the glory. You will give Him credit and He gets the glory. Then thirdly, emotional blessing. Look at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. What is He saying there? He's not talking about people who are dying there. He's not talking about people who are about to lose their lives. He's not talking about anything such in that particular verse, but rather He's talking about God is going to meet your emotional need. And unless we see it in the picture that King David was portraying when he was a shepherd, it would not make sense to us. So therefore, we have to look at it from the viewpoint or understanding of a shepherd. And here's the situation when it comes to that. A sheep being not a very smart animal, a sheep being dumb, if you allow me to say that, tend to love to go to crevices in the mountains. Or a sheep would love to go in between two mountains. Now the problem with that is this. Every time a sheep would go into two mountains or in a crevice in a mountain, the sun would cast its shadow over it. And so now this very, not very smart sheep would think that it's beginning to be dark, that nighttime is coming. Now a sheep doesn't like nighttime. A sheep is afraid of darkness and nighttime, and because the sun has casted its shadow over that crevice, or over the two mountains, and so now the sheep is stuck there and thinking it's getting dark, the sheep, instead of moving away from it or going somewhere else, the sheep would just freeze to death there. In other words, what I'm saying is the sheep would not move, the sheep would stay there, the sheep would not go anywhere else but stay in the dark crevice of the mountain. Now, the problem with that is this. Now, the sheep suddenly becomes a prey to wild animals like foxes and hyenas. But the beauty of this is this, that the shepherd would always show up there with this rod. Now, what is a rod? A rod is a staff. It was designed to pound and pulverize those wild animals. But at the same time, he had a cane or the staff that has a hook at the end, like a walking cane, and he uses that to pull that sheep out of that crevice and out of the hands and paws of the foxes and the hyenas. Are you following me here? So what God is saying to us here is, I am your shepherd. When shadows of fear come your way, when shadows of worry come your way, when shadows of uncertainty, when shadows of Satan, when shadows of demon, when shadow of whatever it is that would make you fearful in life, that's when God would show up and would bring his rod to pulverize your enemy, and he would use his staff to pull you out of your fearful emotion. That's what he's saying there. So even though you may be walking in that area of your life that is full of darkness and that there's no light at the end of the tunnel, God is there with you. He would show up at the moment that you need him so you can say, I will fear no evil. Next is this one, physical blessing. Look at verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. When we look at that particular verse, what comes to your mind? Preparing a table before me, but in the midst of my enemies. That doesn't make any sense. Now, preparing a table for me in the midst of my enemies, and then he would anoint me with oil, and the cup overflows. Unless, once again, we look at it from the standpoint or viewpoint of a shepherd, that verse would not make sense to us. We would always think of it, and I heard many people say this, oh, that table there is the Lord's table. The Lord's table is when the Lord invites you to come and partake of the communion. Well, we're not seeing any oil in here, do you? We're not seeing any real food in here, do we? We're just seeing a little bit of juice and wafer. So what's the point? Unless, again, we look at it from the viewpoint of a shepherd. So let me explain this to you. What is David saying here? Now, a shepherd during his time would have a belt around his waist. Now, that belt has three things: a pouch, a cloth, and a cup. So now, from time to time, once again, a sheep will get lost in the crevice, would get lost and away from the flock, and so now the shepherd will go over there. Now, a lot of times, a sheep or a lamb or a goat would get lost in a place that is dark, and therefore, the sheep is not trusting anyone at that point. You know, they have this fear and understanding that they could be a prey to a wild animal. So even though the shepherd is the one who's trying to corral it, the sheep would just not easily walk to the shepherd. So what would the shepherd do? Just like what he's saying here. He prepares a table before me. What he would do is he will pull out his cloth. He will lay it on the ground. And then he will get the food out of his pouch, the sheep food, and will put it on the cloth. And so now that his way of the sheep would realize, wait a second, this could be my shepherd because I am seeing the food that I normally eat and I am seeing the cloth that he would normally use to feed me. Are you following me here? Yeah. So therefore now the sheep would slowly come out of the crevice and go to that food, to the cloth. And here's what else the shepherd would do. In order to regain the trust of the sheep, remember he's got that cup, he would fill it up with water. And he would begin to walk around and over that sheep. And so now the water will begin to splash over the sheep and over the flock. And so now that is a reminder for the sheep that there's plenty of water. There's going to be more than enough where the water is coming from. But what's the oil for? Now the other thing that the shepherd would carry is he would spray that oil on the side. Why? Because there are other wild animals that are making sheep as their prey. And so like snakes. So those snakes won't be able to crawl on the oily part of the ground. Why? Because of the oil. That's what God is telling us here. Are you following me here? So because God is that pouch, God is that cloth, God is that cup, God is that oil with him, that God is going to meet our physical need, that he's going to set up our table in the midst of our enemy. In other words, regardless of what situation we are in, there's always going to be more than enough because God is our shepherd. And I am a living testimony of this. My family and I are living testimony of this overflow that he's talking about there in verse 4. See, ever since Andy was born in 2011, Irene stopped working. And I've shared this story with you many, many times, and please forgive me. But I just want to make a point here because this is such a great testimony. How Irene stopped working, so I have become the sole breadwinner. But at the same time, Andy was born, so that would be an extra expense for us. But at the same time, that's the year that Sam went to college. Now imagine with extra expenses but less income going in, I would think that would lead to major cash needs, that would lead to major debt or whatnot. And yet, in spite of that, God overflowed His blessing to us because He is our shepherd. That now, at this point, even though Irene has not worked for so many years now, for the last 6 years, we are still able to manage. And not only that, Sam graduated from college without any student loan. But not only that, we are completely debt-free. Right. How could that possibly be? That God has met all our needs in spite of the fact that I think that we are going to be in need. Why? Because He is a shepherd who meets our physical needs. God would always have an overflow in your life, will have sufficiency in your life. You will have more than enough. You will have your daily bread if you make Him your shepherd. Look at what He says in Psalm 37:25. I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. Ask yourself right now, have you ever begged for bread? No. Ever since you came to know the Lord, have you ever been forsaken by the Lord God? No. Never. Because He is your shepherd. And therefore, regardless of who's going to be the next president, regardless of what Dow Jones is saying, regardless of what Wall Street is telling us, regardless of where the economy is heading, it is to God, regardless of all those things, it is to God meaningless. Why? Because He is the economy. Because God is the owner and ruler of all things. God is not affected by Dow Jones. God is not affected by Indiana Jones. God is not affected by Jerry Jones. Why? Because He is the shepherd that we can trust, and He can meet our everyday physical need. Why? Because the shepherd, in Him, there is always an overflow. And then lastly, look at verse 6. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. God is so good and loving to us that He's not only going to meet our spiritual need, directional need, emotional need, but even our physical need, but also our eternal need. That's the last one, the eternal blessing. That means He's only not going to meet our earthly needs, but also all of eternal needs that we have. Because He's that good and loving to us. Why? Because this is not our home. We are not just citizens, perhaps, of this country, but our real citizenship is in heaven. You see that in Philippians 3, verse 20. But look at what He said in John 27:28. My sheep listen to my voice. Can have that, Sam? My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Now think about that for a second. God provides you eternal life, but it's not automatic. God wants to give you and wants to bless you with eternal life, but you have to have a choice. Right. You have to make a choice today. What choice is your choice? Is it eternal blessing or eternal life or eternal curse? Look at what it says there in verse 27 and 28. That my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. Would you love to have eternal life? Yes. I hope that would be your choice. Yes. However, people, in spite of this free gift of eternal life, people are not willing to receive it and accept it. They would rather have this. Look at Revelation 20, verse 15. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. You know what that means, a lake of fire? It means eternal curse. eternal judgment of God, eternal punishment of God. Nowadays, we don't like to hear those things. Nowadays, we don't like to pay attention to those things. But God brought you here today because He wants you to make a choice. Which one would you rather have? Eternal life by making him your shepherd? Or do you want to have eternal curse where you are going to be thrown into the lake of fire? I believe that's an easy choice. And why do people struggle with it? Why would they rather be thrown in the lake of fire instead of receiving this eternal life? But I believe, folks, you are much smarter than a sheep. You are not dumb. You are smart. God has given you this intellect. God has given you this knowledge to make the right choice. And the right choice is say this, I want eternal life. I don't want eternal curse. But you still have to make the choice today. And if you make, or if you want to have that eternal life, then you have to make Him the shepherd of your life. Amen. Now let's go back on all those five category of blessings that God would need. Sam, if we can go back to that, there it is. Now ask yourself right now, is there any issue in your life that doesn't fit into one of these categories? Anything? Just look at the list. Is there any issue in your life that doesn't fit into one of these categories? No. Every single one of us are in dire need of the following things: spiritual, directional, emotional, physical, and eternal. God is willing and can meet all your needs if He is your shepherd. So now the question that is left on the floor today is this. Is the Lord your shepherd? Yeah. Yeah. Now, there's a difference between saying, yes, the Lord is my shepherd, and therefore I have received Him in my heart, versus the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I would obey Him. And once I do, then that's when I would realize that my completeness is only found in God and God alone. So ask yourself. I know many of you have received Jesus in your heart. But do you find your completeness only in God? You won't find it on your work, career, wealth, or health. You can only find your completeness in God. But unless He is your shepherd, then you will forever struggle in attaining and achieving that feeling of completeness in your life. That's why He tells us in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Are you in want right now? Do you feel like you're lacking? Perhaps you have not made Him the shepherd of your life. Let's pray.